Our desire is to make gospel access available to all peoples. And yet, in the world today, there still remain almost 4,000 people groups without access to the gospel. That means that there are people groups where there is no one as a witness to the gospel, where there is no church among that people group. How many churches did you pass today as you came to this church? Can you imagine being in a community or in a large area with thousands of people without one church? Can you imagine that? It exists today in the world. And yet, as much as we want to do this, and as much as we desire as an alliance family of churches to make the gospel known, it will be, in some of these areas, like hammering a stake of wood into unresponsive soil. And so that day, as I use my massive strength to try to get this stake of wood into the ground, I decided to go inside and get a pitcher of water to wet the soil, because it wasn't really working. As the stake of wood began to splinter, I began to pray, Father, please help me to get this stake of wood into the ground. I don't like to do anything halfway. I want to see it go in. Finally, after it almost shattered to pieces, I could barely see the top of a piece of wood. And kneeling there on the ground in the mud, looking at this broken up stake, I heard the gentle whisper of God. This is what it will be like to bring the gospel to a proudly secular, independent people. It will require determination. It will require brokenness. At times, it will be a painful process. But as my spirit waters the ground, as my people persevere in prayer, as the message of the gospel is faithfully held out, what did Jesus promise? Well, maybe I just will build my church. You know, if I'm really able, I might do it. What was Jesus promised? Have you heard this promise? What did Jesus promise about his church? I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus has promised to build his church, and he is building his church in the French nation. For 27 years, as Pastor Mike said, we have been working in France. I don't always like hearing this missionary graveyard. Not very encouraging. But we've been living and working there, and we've been trusting the Lord to establish his church. We have prayed for revival within the church. We have prayed for our family, for our friends. They feel like our family, our friends and our neighbors, to come to faith in Jesus. We've shared our faith with them. And over that period of time, when we've returned to speak to you, the U.S. church, to say thank you. For your participation and for your support in what we are doing in France. We've returned with a song. And it's Psalm 126. The last time we were here, 5 years ago, we preached. It's not the same message, honest. We spoke from this passage of Scripture. I don't do that because I realize that some people do remember things, even though I don't. We use this song because this is a picture of driving a stake into unresponsive soil. This is a picture of gospel access for all peoples. The name of our church is Église Protestante Internationale, the International Protestant Church. And the initials are AP. Often in French, we use just the initials for a church. We don't use the whole long name, AP. And it's a French word. It means a stalk of grain, which is a symbol of the harvest. The name of our project, the name of our prayer update that we send out every week is Harvest Promise Toulouse. And it's all bound up in this one passage of Scripture, Psalm 126. I'd invite you to open your Bibles to this passage, and Tina's going to come and read it for us.
Psalm 126. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter. Our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him.
Did you catch what the psalmist said two times in this psalm? Verses 2 and 3. The Lord has done great things. The Lord has done great things. But in verse 2, it's the nations as they look at Israel. And they say, the Lord has done great things for them. Isn't that our desire? For our family and our friends and our co-workers, our neighbors, to look at our lives and say, the Lord, he really exists. The Lord has done great things for them. Isn't that our prayer when we see Syrian refugees coming to, fleeing their country, going to other lands, as a church welcomes them, that they would see the compassionate God represented by these people, and they would say, the Lord has done great things for them. We want to know this God. But the psalmist goes on in verse 3, and it's the people of God speaking this time. And they're saying, the Lord has done great things for us. Isn't it wonderful when we in our lives experience God in an incredible way? We, as we're witnessing to somebody and something, we say something and we realize, wow, that didn't come from me. Or we see an answer to prayer, God intervenes in a special way, and we honestly say in all humility, the Lord has done great things for us. This morning, as we speak with you, we want to tell you some of the stories of the great things that God has done, the reasons why we are glad. But I'd like to also direct your attention to the end of this psalm, verses 5 and 6. This is a picture of years of pounding a wooden stake into the ground, of praying, of announcing, of working, that will result in fruit, harvest fruit to the glory of the Lord of the harvest. And this morning, our desire is to give glory to the Lord of the harvest, to give him honor, because he is the most important character in all the stories that we're going to share with you.
We're always looking for ways to reach out into the community, aren't we? How can a bunch of English-speaking women in a French congregation reach out to the community around them? Well, about a year ago, the Lord gave us the idea of doing an English cafe, of inviting people who were interested in practicing their English to come in and have cake and coffee and talk around a theme that we had chosen for the day. We were not expecting the motley crew that God brought in. We had a French country western singer from a very rough background who also taught line dancing. We had a very elegant, wealthy woman from Abu Dhabi in the Arab Emirates, a French woman who spent about half the year in our community Legavant babysitting for her grandchild. We had a Muslim airline pilot who was going through a divorce. We had a French anthropologist author who had been with the IMF in Burkina Faso for years. We had an atheist from Tajikistan who was a professional volleyball player in her country, a Ukrainian pastor's daughter, We had women who were seeking employment. We had women, a lot of women, who had a really terrible self-image. We had a French ceramic artist. We had quite a mix of women. And these women who came in were not expecting the welcome that they got. They were not expecting to be received with such love and affirmation. They weren't expecting to be encouraged in their English instead of being criticized. And they certainly were not expecting to hear about God, because you don't talk about God in a public setting, even though it was a church. But God has given us many natural opportunities just to talk about Him in the conversation that has come up. And it's been fantastic to see how He's opened doors. One time, a woman who was there for the first time said to the group, as she looked around the church where we meet, "Can anybody come to this church? What's it like here?" And so we described what a worship service was like. And someone said, "Oh, well, Tina leads worship." And then someone else said, "Sing us a song, Tina." Well, wouldn't you know that that very day, just by coincidence, my colleague Marcy happened to have her guitar there, only time she had ever brought her guitar, for practice later. And I just happened to have left the music out. I hadn't put it away yet, and that was a God thing. And so I grabbed the music, Marcy grabbed her guitar, and we sang, "Béni soit ton nom, là où tu donnes l'abondance, et déverse ta bienveillance, béni soit ton nom." You know that? Blessed be your name. Well, this was the first time that the majority of those women had ever heard a song like that, that talked about a relationship with God like that, where you could thank Him in the good times and the bad times. God has given us a lot of opportunities to share. In October, we had an outreach and invited a team from California to come out and do a California cafe. It was a cultural event where we would be offering SoCal foods, typical foods, with games and music from California, like the Beach Boys. And we gave out the invitations and had no idea how many people would come to see these Californians, real Californians. Well, that night, 100 people showed up. The majority of them were unchurched. It was a fantastic evening. We had a lot of fun, and there were a lot of God conversations. One of them was with a woman from a Muslim background who had come and was very tearful because her husband had recently left her for another woman. Afterwards, she shared with some of the believers and cried and shared and cried. And the comfort that she received with these believers encouraged her to come to English Cafe and to continue coming every week because she felt support there. God gave us opportunities to carry on with those conversations as we went out to a restaurant, just spontaneously afterwards for lunch, as we went on walks in the forest. And we encouraged her to read the Word. We encouraged her to pray. And this woman from a Muslim background began to see God working in her life and comforting her and helping her. And this woman from a Muslim background is now on the Jesus road. God has used English Cafe, just like I pray He'll use your community breakfast as well, to reach out into your community.
Father, you know that we need over 80,000 euros to buy this meeting place as a down payment. I trust you to provide. Every day for over a year, I ask God for the specific amount of money. We had spent over 100,000 euros. Euros are almost equivalent to the dollar. The dollar in the past has been weaker than the euro, so it would take more dollars to make up a euro. We had spent over 100,000 euros to transform two units in a complex of that was built for shops and small businesses to transform it into a place for us to meet. We were organized as a church in 2008 in the spring. Later on that year, the end of summer, we rented a place that needed to have 7 months of work to transform an empty shell into a meeting place. When we met there in the spring of 2009, we had enough chairs for 80 people, and we had two small Sunday school rooms, and we thought this was great, that it would last for a long time. And yet, God surprised us, because people started finding out about us, and the church started growing. So much so that when we were here in 2010 for your missions conference, our church had rented the facility next door, the other unit, to transform that into three Sunday school rooms, a kitchen, and a permanent prayer room. The team that had come from Trinity in South Jersey to put up the walls in 2009 returned in 2011 to take the walls down. Graciously, we are glad. When in 2012, we said, after all the work had been done, we spent a lot of money on this place, we're paying a lot for rent, we need to buy it, which was a no-brainer. And we all unanimously said as members, we need to do this. We were so excited. We were believing God that He was going to provide. We had maybe about 30,000 euros for a down payment. And what we discovered, a rude awakening, is that banks are not impressed with faith. Did you know that? They think that they have all the money in the world. And we knew the one who controlled all the money that they had in their bank. But they just really weren't very impressed with our humble down payment. So we signed a promise to buy. And 3 months later, we renewed it. And 3 months later, we renewed it. Well, that went on for a year. And at the end of that year, we still had 30,000 euros, and the banks still weren't very impressed with us. The decision was made that, okay, we're just not going to sign this again. It's not time. We don't have enough money. I was crushed. I was so disappointed, because we were praying, we were believing God for this. That was in May. Beginning of September, the same year, I received an email from our treasurer. She wrote me, "Hi, Brad. We've received a check for 50,000 euros for the building fund, which I'm banking today, and the source is confidential, even to you. I thought this would brighten your day." Oh, yeah, it did. At long last, God had answered our prayer. With boosted faith, we signed another promise to buy. But on this day, things were different. The major difference was a long-standing prayer of 7 years was answered. Because one of the two brothers who had originally built this complex was there to sign the promise to buy. And he just happened to mention that he and his children had recently been baptized. We were so excited. It's not about buildings, people. It's about building for eternity. It's about people's lives. We went back to banks, consulted different banks. And this time, two were ready to give us a mortgage. And the interest rates had dropped to their lowest in years. On September 16th, this year, that place belonged to us. Our God. Our God honors perseverance in prayer.
Little Sabel loved the morning prayer time and the opening song in her Catholic school in Senegal. But she didn't make the sign of the cross like the other children did, because back at home, her parents were Muslim, as her family had been for generations. And so she went through this Catholic high school, seeing Jesus on the cross above her classroom blackboard, looking down on her until she finished high school. For university studies, she went to Paris, France. And when she finished her university studies, she met a young Frenchman named Dunya and fell madly in love with him. But his family was Catholic. He wanted to ask her family's permission to marry her, but would they allow her to marry a man that was not from a Muslim family? Well, fortunately for both of them, Dunya's father was from Guinea, and that was her parents' native country. So that was one point. And second point in his favor, his name was Dunya, and that's a Muslim name. And so her parents agreed to the marriage. They were married, and the newlyweds started on a fast track for successful careers. Twice tragedy shook her world and turned her upside down. The first time was when her mother died a year after their marriage. Her mother had been a practicing Muslim, faithful in the faith. And so to try to find some kind of comfort to get closer to her mother, Sabel decided that she would start practicing her Muslim faith. She tried the pillars of the faith. She tried to go through all those things, but she couldn't keep up with it. It was too hard, and it brought her no comfort. And so she drifted away. A while later, she was appointed to an important post in Morocco. This gave her great advantage. She was rubbing shoulders with wealthy bankers. She was able to stay in luxurious hotels, travel in first class. She handled a lot of money. It was very prestigious, and every need was met. Life was great. Her father came for a visit. Her father was her greatest supporter, and one day he died suddenly in their living room. She was inconsolable. She was completely devastated. Her father had died. So she said to Dunya, "We can't stay here. Let's go back to Paris." And once again, in a desperate effort to try to find some kind of comfort, she returned to the Muslim religion. She tried practicing her faith, again to no avail. A few years passed. They had two sons. They were both working in prosperous careers. They were making a lot of money. But still, she was not happy. She couldn't find contentment. And so she tried the only thing that she knew, having come from a wealthy family, that would give her any kind of satisfaction. She went shopping. She bought a new wardrobe for every season, even designer gowns. She got new furniture. They went out to fancy restaurants. They traveled. They got a better apartment, but still no satisfaction, no contentment. Those things just didn't fill her life. And so she had a light bulb moment. She thought, "This life is so busy here and I am unhappy. What can I do? Move. We'll go to Toulouse. We'll go to the south of France where the sun shines all the time, because it's very rainy in Paris, where life is calmer. We'll leave the rat race of Paris. We'll move to Toulouse, and then I'll be happy. Then my family will be happy." And so they moved to Toulouse. And sure enough, they got good jobs again. They had good schools for their sons. They found nice friends. Life was good. Life was even grand once again. But still, she was not content. She found that there was a hole inside of her, and nothing could fill it. Finally, she realized that this was a spiritual hole. Only God could fill this hole. But who's God? She had tried the Muslim religion, and she knew that it didn't satisfy. It was too hard. It was just a bunch of rules and requirements. And to her, having seen the Catholic religion, she said, "Well, that's just the same thing. It's all a bunch of rules and requirements." She didn't know where to turn. And then a friend gave her a book about an Iraqi Muslim who had come to faith in Christ. He raised questions that she had never dared to voice, but had always thought. And his relationship that he found with God filled her with longing. God brought into her life a colleague who was a Christian, a man from our church, and he began to talk to her about the Église Protestante Internationale. He invited her to an Alpha course, which is an outreach for unbelievers. And she thought, Protestant? Okay. They're not Catholic. They're not Muslim. They believe in God. Maybe I can find God there. And so before the Alpha course even started, she and her family came to church. She was so hungry for God. We knew she was coming. We'd heard about her. We were a bit nervous. You know, she'd never been to church. So after the service, I went up to her, and I said, So, Sabel, what did you think? She said, I feel like I'm floating. It was her first experience of the presence of God, and it touched her deeply, as well as Dunya. But it wasn't their last experience, because both she and Dunya came to faith in Christ. They gave their lives to the Lord, and even her fear of her family did not hold her back from being baptized. She sent them an email. They lived all different places. Her twin brother is a faithfully practicing Muslim. She sent them an email and told them she had become a Christian and she was going to be baptized. Her family was very angry with her. They said that she had betrayed her parents who were deceased, that she had betrayed her family. But fortunately, because for them family was more important than religion, they didn't reject her. And so both of them were baptized, and they served in the church every time the doors were open. Sabel's contract early on in her conversion was terminated where she was working. And instead of renewing her contract, she decided she wanted to stay home so she could spend time with her kids, but especially spend time in the Word, spend time in Bible studies, learn how to pray. She was just couldn't get enough of God. Brad will share with you one of the ministries that God gave both of them in the short time that they were with us. And I say in the short time they were with us because God opened a door for them. Their lifelong dream of coming to the States and living and working came true. And so about a year ago, they moved to Michigan, where they're living outside of Detroit. Dunya has a contract, a working contract there, and they're involved in the church there. God is still using them. God took a young Muslim woman from Senegal, brought her to France, took her to Morocco, and now has taken her to Michigan, where she's still following him. We serve a God who does miracles.
The ministry that Tina mentioned, I'll just share very briefly with you, is called the Daily Audio Bible, and it was the vision of the man in this picture, Martin, who's one of our elders. He had been listening to this podcast for a couple of years. It comes out of Tennessee. He's English. And he had the desire to see something happen in French. You know, I came across a statistic just the other day that really surprised me, and that is that 80% of French people have never seen or read the Bible. So his desire was to bring the Word of God to French speakers. Not only in France, because French speakers are also in West Africa and in other parts of the world. So as his vision developed and as we prayed, we finally saw this ministry come to pass on January 1st, 2014. 5 readers from our congregation are part of it. This morning I listened to Dunya reading from Ezekiel. Go through the entire Bible in 365 days. It's also heard in Gabon, West Africa, on a radio station several times a day. And our prayer is that former African colonies of Morocco, Tunisia, and Algeria, where we can't necessarily take the Bible in very freely, that people will discover this podcast and listen to the Word of God and come to faith in Jesus. But for us to see gospel access for all peoples in order to complete the Great Commission, we need to do more than send out international workers. I mean, look at the two of us. We look like we came out of the graveyard, but we're on our way out. I hope to go home tonight. Maybe I will be in the graveyard tonight. In order to see gospel access maintained in nations, we need to see a strong network of churches and leaders developed. In France, over 30 years ago, the French Alliance was created. And it's there. We have pastors, we have leaders, we have 26 churches that represent the diversity of French society. We have French-speaking churches, but we also have English. Our oldest and largest church is Chinese. We have Vietnamese and Hmong and Cambodian and Arab-speaking. It's really incredible in 26 churches to have that many different nationalities or that many different languages. But in order to see this happen, in order to see the gospel access maintained in France, we need to train pastors and leaders. And this is more and more our heart, the two of us, to see this happen. This year, while we're here in the U.S., we are the pastoral couple for this young church. We have eight lay leaders who are leading the congregation. These three men are part of those eight leaders. The two men with hat or cap on are British. The one in the middle is French. Notice he is not wearing a beret. A word that could easily describe this young man, who's named Bruno, in his teen years, early 20s, is rebel. That's the word that he used for himself. But he was part of a family that attended an evangelical church, which is really amazing because only 1% of 64 million French people are evangelicals. France has the lowest church attendance in all of Europe. But even though that was the case, he wasn't following the Lord. He had to be brought to a very low place in his life before he began to wake up and start taking his faith seriously. And God uses incredible things to get our attention. During a very difficult time in Bruno's life, he happened to read some graffiti on the wall. And this is what it said. I also was in this place before you. I'm a Christian. This is what God has promised. He will deliver you because he loves you. He will not abandon you. Pray to him and believe. And he did.
And God did.
By the time he arrived at EPI in 2011, he was married with a little girl. He's a drummer of a local Christian band. He volunteered a year after arriving in our church to take on the responsibility of our youth group, which he was probably not aware of what that all involved, because our youth group was made of mostly junior high boys. But he had lots of ideas, and he wanted to take on this responsibility, so the two of us started meeting together, a mentoring relationship that continues to deepen to this day. God brought him through some important steps to develop his faith. In January 2014, a second child was born to this young couple. Maxime was born 2 months premature. He had an infection. Philana, the mother, experienced a significant loss of blood, was weakened, was ill, and our church prayed. I mean, the church took it very, very seriously. And as a result of that, not only did God bring this family out of that situation, and little Maxime went home after 2 months, amazing the doctors, his mother as well. Not only that, but the prayer revival that had begun within our small congregation continues to linger to this day. Bruno, the former rebel, grew incredibly in his faith, so that in September of 2014, the two of us began praying for these young people. We were praying because there's so much temptation for young people in France. Very few are believers. And some of these, even though they had faith in God, they weren't really advancing that far in their faith. So we began to pray that they would be baptized. And the first night that Bruno talked about this, one of the young guys said, I want to be baptized. He was so excited and thrilled, he called me up and he said, Brad, it really works. What really works? Prayer, it really works. God answers prayer. After that, other young people stepped forward. So that in May of this year, three of these young people were baptized. The two of us were able to do it. What a great joy that was. He once told me that in his former church, he had felt like a part of the furniture, unnoticed and useless. But since coming to our church, he's been growing. He's been becoming the leader God created him to be. And I like to think of this former rebel who is now influencing a generation for Jesus as a young leader who's raising up young leaders for the kingdom of God. We need pastors in France. Hey, they're on their way. They're kind of young, but they're on their way. Driving a wooden stake into the ground wasn't easy, but it did eventually penetrate, and it was hidden beneath the soil. Making the gospel known, making gospel access available to all people, penetrating another culture may not always be easy, but it's necessary. So the peoples of the world recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord, and our prayer is that they will come to know him as their Savior. So our goal as an Alliance family of churches is to complete the Great Commission. We want to do this by creating strong networks of churches within nations who will in turn send out international workers to other areas to reach other people groups. I began today by saying that there are at least 4,000 people groups still needing access to the gospel. And so what we're going to do is pray. The very first step is to pray. There are tools available on the Alliance website to help you do that. We're working with 70 of these 4,000 people groups. We've divided this area up into 7 large areas, and France is one of those areas, encouraging the Alliance family to pray over the next few years to see a major change. And we'd like to ask you to pray specifically for our ministry every week, because I'm compulsive, obsessive. I send out this prayer update every week with stories and prayer requests. And some of the stories that we have shared with you today are stories that people prayed about and were a part of seeing God answer. We also want to encourage you to be part of giving to the Great Commission Fund of the Christian Missionary Alliance. As you give over and above your tithe to this local congregation, you are participating along with us in seeing gospel access for all peoples, in sending workers, but also, perhaps, you yourself will decide to go for a short term or for a longer period of time. We've been working in France for 27 years. And we can easily say, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. We hope this morning you've understood some of those reasons, but we also hope that you will be part of what God is doing in your neighborhood, in your business, in your family, in your church, as we work together to make gospel access available for all peoples. It's our job as members of the body of Christ. So this morning, in a very simple way, as I conclude, I'd like to ask you these two questions. What is the Spirit saying to you today? What is He calling you to do? Listen to His voice and obey. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this church and this community. Thank you, Lord, for the reach of this congregation that goes beyond this community to the world. And Lord, our prayer is very simple, that your blessing will rest on this church and its leadership, that your blessing will rest on its membership, and that you will use this church in even greater ways than they ever imagined before. Use them, Lord, to bring gospel access to all peoples. For your glory, Lord. For your honor. In Jesus' strong name. Amen.